Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Praying for Our Children. Y'all have probably heard me say before, and I'm sorry if my voice is a little bit off. I'm trying to get through an upper respiratory infection, but I didn't want to miss doing a podcast. The reason there's not a video is because I'm just not up to getting presentable enough to show my face on video today, y'all. So I apologize for that. I'm sorry if that's a disappointment to you. But hopefully I'll be able to do a video again next week. Okay. Y'all have heard me say before, nothing happens until someone prays. Okay. The Lord cannot honor our faith and answer our prayers unless we pray them first. And you've heard me tell the story more than once that me being in the Christian walk, me doing this ministry work, is a direct result of my mother interceding for me for over 10 years before I answered the call. And I've told you the story before. There is a very well-known evangelist on television whose grandmother used to pray in tongues around the house when she was a little girl. And the family thought she was crazy. They thought she was just a whack job. So they locked her in the attic. And they used to put the little girl up there with her. And she would rock the little girl and pray in that other language. And what they thought was crazy babbling was her praying in her prayer language. So for years, she prayed over the little girl in the spirit and she rocked her. And the little girl grew up, got saved, and is still serving God today in a worldwide ministry. When I first got saved in 1996, I was immediately concerned for my two children who I did not raise in the Word of God because I myself wasn't walking in the Word of God. There were times when we went to church, but although I went to church for about a year at this one little church in McKinney, Texas, when I was married to Rick, I don't believe I was truly saved in that time. I did love the Lord, but I don't think I was truly saved, because when you are truly saved and you truly know Jesus, there's just no way you can turn your back and go back to the world like that. So when I got saved about a year later, I was in South Louisiana. I was sent to another town to work. I was sent to Morgan City, Louisiana. And I was by myself. And I was doing a lot of worship then, a lot of worship. I would go home at lunch to worship because I couldn't stand being away from God for that long and being at my job. The Word was not open to me. I didn't understand the Word of God at all. I listened to sermons a lot because I didn't really understand anything that I read. And I began interceding for my children at 7:30 every night. I would turn off my phones, lock my doors, turn on the worship music, and I would go aside with God and I would intercede every night and pray and get visions and all kind of things like that until 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. And I did this every single night. And I did it for months. I don't know how long I did it. And I begged God to save my children. About 30 days into that, my son called me asking for a Bible. 2 weeks later, my daughter gave her life to Christ. Now, neither of them is walking with the Lord today, to the best of my knowledge, but that proved to me that intercession really does work, because I was not trying to witness to either of them. They were at that point that I was with my mom, that if she started talking about Jesus to me, I would just get off the phone. Oh, I gotta go, Mom. I love you. Bye. You know, and they would do the same thing to me. So I just turned it all over to the Lord, and I said, okay, Lord, they won't listen to me, so I'm just going to let you do it. So intercession works, and nothing happens until someone prays. What I want to teach y'all today is how to pray for your children to get major results, because I've learned since at that time, I did not know what I know now about how to pray. And this is the most powerful prayers that you can pray for your children. Y'all know the story of the prodigal son. It's in Luke chapter 15. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. "Give me some money, Dad." And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He went out into the world and took up the world's ways. He did not stay and serve his father. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Always, 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 whenever we get into excess in an area of our lives, we will pay later by being in lack. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He was starving, and he would have gladly eaten the scraps that he was feeding the pigs. That's what that means. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." That reminds me, one of my favorite songs in all the world is a song called Prodigal by Casting Crowns. It is the most awesome song. It's on YouTube. "Let me serve you where I know I'll be taken care of. The world didn't take care of me, Dad." That's what he was saying. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." Servants did not wear shoes, y'all. That meant he was not a servant in his father's house like he had been where he used to feed the pigs in the far country. And a ring was a sign of authority in that time. "And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." Now, for those of you who don't know, eating a fattened calf of any animal was saved for special times, because they did not have refrigeration back then. So in order for them to eat something like that, they usually had to have a bunch of people, because you had to eat it or it went to spoil. They had to eat it, you know, because they couldn't refrigerate it. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. "Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing." He saw them doing the happy dance, didn't he? "And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him." He was jealous. That's what he was. "And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, and I make merry with my friends. I'm probably not reading this perfectly, y'all. I'm sorry, I'm trying. "But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." What do you think the father of the prodigal did after his son left for a life of sin in that far country? I think he prayed. I think he prayed for his son's safe return. He knew what was waiting for his son out in the world, and that it had the power to destroy him. Just like we know that about our children. If they are out in the world, we know that on any given day, the destruction that Satan has running rampant in this world could destroy them. I think he prayed. "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. It's Proverbs 11:21. The Lord told me one time, I can't remember who I was praying for. Oh, I know what it was. I asked the Lord why sometimes I could pray one time and that prayer would be answered, and sometimes I'd pray for months before I'd see an answer. And he said, it depends on how much darkness surrounds the person or the thing that you're praying about. And that made so much sense. So if your child is off somewhere, you know, on drugs, if they're in prostitution, if they're in something really dark, heavy sin like meth addiction or something like that, it requires usually longer prayer to get them free. That doesn't mean they won't get free. Just realize you're not going to pray once to get them free. Remember Abshak, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember how they were bound up? They had their clothes on and they were bound up and thrown into the furnace? Well, that's pretty much what Satan wants to do with our children, okay? Our children are bound up, and Satan is making them bow. Not to the golden idol, but to addiction, to pornography, to sexual sin, to idolatry in the world. And we need to go in and bring them out of the fire. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sheaves. I looked that word up. It is a Hebrew word. I don't think I can pronounce it correctly, but I'll try. Aluma, or something similar to that, and it means something that is bound. A sheave was like when you harvested, like, let's say, for instance, hay, and you stood it up and you bound it around to hold it together. Our children don't know how to get free. They may not even know that they're bound, y'all. If they're just doing what the world does, they don't even know they're bound. And you can talk to them about Jesus till you're blue in the face, but I'll tell you something from many years of experience. When everybody was trying to talk to me about Jesus, and Jesus was exactly what I was looking for, and I was looking out in the world because I didn't know any better. I didn't know that he was the answer to everything I searched for. What it took to get my attention was somebody who walked in the joy and the peace that is that salvation. And it was a 15-year-old girl, but she walked it. And seeing her walk it grabbed my attention. And in watching her, I prayed one prayer. If you're real, show me, and I'll follow you. And boom, he did. Live the life in front of them. Let them see the joy and the peace. Don't preach to them. Let your life preach that sermon. It will do you so much more good. And y'all, I chose to do this podcast now for a reason, because this is Thanksgiving week. Many of you will be around the family members that you intercede for. Many of you may be around your grown children at this time and you don't see them a lot the rest of the time. I'm doing it at this timing on purpose, okay? We can pray in the background every day, but how we live in front of them matters. You preach in their face, you will drive them away, but if you will just be quiet. The reason that I didn't ask my mom about Jesus when I started getting interested is because I didn't want another sermon. I love my mom, but I was so tired of the sermons. I didn't want to be preached at. When I became interested in him, I should have been able to just go and say, okay, mom, tell me about Jesus. Because she sure knew. That woman had the tenacity of a bulldog hanging on to a strip of steak, y'all. I've never seen tenacity like my mom had. You would not believe the hardship she suffered. And I look at her life now and just shake my head and go, I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she did what she did for so long with nothing. And the way she did it, anytime you ask her that question, she would say, my faith in God is what got me through. So she knew about him. But if you preach at them, When God starts to draw them, they will not come to you and ask any questions. If you want to be able to witness to them, shut up. All right? Just shut up and live the life in front of them. I am trying to help you. Please listen to me. Shut up and just let them see the peace and the joy in your life, in your eyes, in your face. That's what I saw in this girl. She glowed with Jesus. She didn't talk about him. She just walked it. You could see it on her. It was so strong. She lived what she believed. She didn't say she believed one thing and live another way. Okay? She wasn't saying, yeah, I believe in purity and then shacking up with somebody. All right? I am talking to somebody. God said, I'm talking to somebody. There's a man listening to me right now. You are shacking up with your girlfriend and you are preaching to your kids. Sir, you need to stop right now and get your own life right. You get your own life right. You can't say one thing and live another thing. There was a thing I shared on Facebook recently I thought was so funny. It came up in my feed. And it was a picture of this woman. And she said, you can't shack up with the devil and believe and expect God to pay your rent. Okay? Y'all better hear me on this. You better hear me on this. Live what you believe. Don't be two people. Be one person. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And let him not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. You live what you believe. If you don't believe it enough to live it, then you don't need to be calling yourself a Christian, do you? All right. All right now. God is knocking at the door of our lives. And he wants to come in and deliver our children. And he wants to use our prayers to touch them. But we also need to have our lives right. All right. We need to raise up the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, against Satan and tell him his game is over. Because it's over, y'all. When Jesus left the earth, he left us the authority of his name. That name is above anything that has a name. If there's a name that's bothering your kids called drug addiction or depression or violence or idolatry or anything, fornication, anything that your kids are into, they're not supposed to be into, homosexuality, anything. Whatever your child has got themselves into that you want to pray them out of, the name of Jesus has the power to stomp that thing out, all right? It's like a blank check that will pay for anything that is within God's will. Let me tell y'all something. How much victory you have in your life is directly proportionate to how much of your authority you exercise. And there is nothing on this earth we do not have authority over. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's not an exact quote, because I'm not looking at the scripture, but that's basically at Luke 10:19. Okay, we need to plead the blood of Jesus over our children every single day, okay? I believe it was Juanita Bynum that had a vision I read about back in 1999 or 2000. I just was so blown away by this. It was in a book called a magazine. I think it was in Spirit Led Woman. I don't think that magazine exists anymore. It was really good. But she had a vision. Sorry, y'all, I'm short of breath. She had a vision of terrible, terrible things happening to herself or her family members or something like that. Horrible things, you know, car wrecks and all these different things. And she asked the Lord what that was about. And then it was like she saw the things and then she saw the things not happen or something like that. I cannot remember the vision. I hadn't thought about it in so long. And he told her that the blood of Jesus covered them. Through her prayers, she had pled the blood over them. And that's why none of those things had ever happened. Whoever it was she was praying for at that time. Anyway, I've always thought about, okay, the blood is that powerful. In the spirit, the demons can see the blood. If you plead the blood, they see the blood running down over that. And they are terrified of the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus is what defeated them. That is what defeated them. That is the blood that covers our sins and makes us not guilty. And that blood protects, it heals, it delivers, it does everything. We need to plead the blood of Jesus over our child's future, because the devil's after your child's destiny. The devil's after your child's health, after their peace, after everything good in their lives and everything good in your life. We can speak to the mountains in our children's lives and command them to leave in the name of Jesus. Okay? All right. Now, I was praying for something one time, and I cannot remember what I was praying for, praying about. But the Lord spoke to me. It was like I was praying for several people at once or something like that. I think I was doing my prayer list, and I grouped some people together, and I was praying the same prayer over this group of people. Okay, Lord, I pray for blah, 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 and this is what I pray. And as I did that, the Lord spoke to me, and he told me that if I prayed for five people at once, that prayer was diluted, and each one of them only got like a fifth of the power of that prayer. So the prayers I'm going to give you, you need to pray them for each child, and they're long. You would be better off praying just for one child each day than to try to pray a blanket prayer like that, okay? And it's him that taught me about that, so that's why I'm telling y'all this, okay? You have to pray these prayers out loud for them to work, okay? It is the spoken word of God that causes angels to be dispatched on our behalf. Angels are ministering spirits sent to minister for them who are heirs of salvation. Okay, that's us and also our children in the future. Because our children are going to inherit salvation too. Remember, the Lord told us that everybody being interceded for in this time, he would save. Okay, so we can trust the next time you see your unsaved children and they're just acting all crazy, you can just kind of stand there and smile going, yep, he's going to get you in the boat. You just don't even know it yet because he is. Okay, now, Lord, you said that we should be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to you. So that's what we're doing, Lord. We're going to do this. We're going to pray the word of God. Lord, today I'm going to pray these prayers over my son. So I can I'm going to give you all the example. This is how you pray them. And those of you who want the prayers, I'm going to give you the email address at the end of praying them, and you can email me and get these prayers, okay? When you pray a scriptural prayer over someone or over something in your life, angels are dispatched immediately. Angels stand around you and wait for you to use the word of God in a way they can act on it. I can't remember who it was that saw that. Okay, here we go. Now, we're going to start. I'm going to give you the scripture reference for each one. Isaiah 11:2. Thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon my son, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. I'm not going to give you the scripture references for the rest of them. I'm just going to pray the prayers and you can request the prayers. Lord, I praise you that you know the thoughts you think towards my son, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give him an expected end, that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I thank you, my son is sober and vigilant, knowing his adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Thank you, Lord, that my son shall love the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. Lord, I'm so glad that you are not slack concerning your promises, as some men count slackness, but you're long-suffering to usward, and that you are not willing that my son should perish, but that he should come to repentance. Thank you, Lord. He shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my son. No weapon that is formed against my son shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against him in judgment he shall condemn, because you declare his righteousness is of you. Thank you, Lord, for delivering my son from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I bring this to you because I know you are faithful, who shall establish him and keep him from evil. Thank you, Lord, that my son brings all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in your house, and that you open the windows of heaven and pour him out a blessing, that there shall not even be room enough to receive it. Thank you, Lord, this means you will rebuke the devourer for my son's sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of his ground, neither shall his vine cast its fruit before the time. Thank you, Lord, for teaching my son to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, so he will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. The Lord shall deliver my son from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover my son with his feathers, and under his wings shall he trust. His truth shall be his shield and buckler. My son shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my son's side, and 10,000 at his right hand, but it shall not come nigh my son. Only with his eyes shall he behold and see the reward of the wicked. Thank you, Lord, my son is made the Lord, which is his refuge, even the Most High, his habitation. There shall no evil befall my son, neither shall any plague come nigh his dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over my son to keep my son in all his ways. They shall bear my son up in their hands, lest my son shall dash his foot against a stone. My son shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall my son trample under his feet. Thank you, Lord, that whenever my son shall call upon you, you will answer him. You will be with him in trouble, and you will deliver him and honor him. The Lord is my son's shepherd. He shall not want. The Lord makes my son to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth my son beside the still waters. Thank you, Lord, for restoring my son's soul, for leading him in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Though my son may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will fear no evil, for you are with him. Your rod and your staff comfort him. Thank you, Lord, for preparing a table before my son in the presence of his enemies, and for anointing his head with oil, and for causing his cup to overflow with blessings. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow my son all the days of his life, and he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you would like a copy of those prayers to pray over your child or your grandchild or whoever you would like to pray them over, you can email me at glendalomax@justpraisehim.today, and this is also in the podbean.com description of this podcast. If you look for the Just Praise Him radio show on podbean.com for a copy of these, and in the subject line put prayers for our children. That's all you have to put. When I see that, I will attach a copy of these prayers and send it right back to you. I hope that this podcast has been helpful to you. I hope that you will begin praying these prayers over your children. I will tell you something. It is impossible to apply the Word of God to a situation every day that is within God's will and for that situation to remain unchanged forever. Okay? So you can pray these prayers with complete faith, because we serve a faithful God, y'all. He is faithful. And when we pray according to His will, He hears us and He answers. He wants to save your child. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants to save them. He wants to save your grandchildren. He wants it more than you do. He loves them even more than we love them, y'all. So He wants to answer, but we have to put our faith out there to give Him something to work with, right? Okay, so get the prayers and start praying them over your kids. I cannot wait to hear the praise reports. I hope that y'all have a great Thanksgiving. Stay well and happy this holiday season. Jesus bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539. Or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where all of a sudden it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are times of great uncertainty and change. They are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many of these wilderness experiences in my own life, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led into the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving your provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com in print, Kindle, and new audiobook versions. The Wilderness Companion. Don't go into the desert without it. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com. In print, and Kindle. Loosed from chains of darkness and be free. Millions of Christians are trapped in abusive situations today, living in fear or living a life of failure. 1 in 4 women in America will experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. Men are victims of nearly 3 million assaults in the U.S. Did you know if you are under the curse of abuse, abuse will always be part of your life unless you break the curse? Find out how to get free of the curse of abuse. Get the book, Escaping the Curse of Abuse. Available on Amazon.com, Escaping the Curse of Abuse, and be free. Isn't it time?